I notice quite often when the speakers are up here, they keep looking at the clock back there, and they say things like, for the sake of time, and they look at their watch and all of this. But you know, I just want to stand right out here and say, nobody's ever told me how long I have. So, hey, what is it? 2 hours? 3 hours? Who knows what it is? So I'm going to try not to look at the clock today. This is such a big subject I've been given to speak on. The Holy Spirit and evangelism. And as I started looking at this message, I realized real quick that it's a lot easier to be led by the Spirit in evangelism than it is to speak or teach on it. I'll tell you that one. So I thought what I would do, first of all, so that you'll understand possibly a little better as I go on and go into my message. A lot of you know me and maybe know my background, but maybe some of you don't. So just very briefly, I came to know the Lord when I was 42 years old. And almost immediately, I wanted to share my faith. I got to know a group of people who would go down on the streets of Ottawa. I was living close to Ottawa at the time. And they said, well, come with us. We're going to give out some tracts. So I went down, gave out some tracts, never spoke to anyone, and did that for a while. But I kept hearing about this group that were down there called Open Air Campaigners. And they had these huge sketchboards where they would paint messages and present the gospel with these paint boards. But I never did find them for the longest time until I was involved with a children's group at our church, and this gentleman came out to speak to the kids with his paint board. I thought, oh, this is great. So I got to speak to him, and he invited me down to the market in Ottawa. We're talking quite a few years ago when the marketplace was not so popular as it is now. So I went down this one night and I stood and I watched, and I was quite impressed by the way they presented the gospel. But what I was more impressed by was I counted 100 people standing through that whole message that lasted about 15 minutes. 100 people hearing the gospel at one time. I was just blown away. And then after the message is over, the person handed out some booklets, and then other people who were in the audience, who were with the team, who was with the speaker, they went to the people who took the booklet and they shared the booklet with them. I thought, if I could only do this, maybe if I really work at it and try and learn scripture and learn to do that paint thing, and maybe in a couple of years I'll be able to do this. Well, about a month later, I was reading in a magazine that there was a seminar on how to do that. Well, I didn't have any money at the time to do anything. Someone offered to pay my way to go to New York City to learn how to do the paint board. Well, anyway, to make the long story short, I went and I learned how to do it. And I ended up going into full-time ministry for about 12 or 13 years doing this kind of evangelism, both with adults and with children. So that's just a brief background of where I'm coming from when I present the message today. So we'll just have a short word of prayer. Lord, I want to pray for this message today. We're all in this work together. And I would pray that this message today, Lord, that we would be better ambassadors for you, that we would be better equipped to step out in faith, that we would have boldness, and we would have discernment, and we'd be increased in our faith by the words here today. We pray in Jesus' name these things. Amen. So before I get into our topic of Holy Spirit and evangelism, I'd like first just to briefly talk about the Holy Spirit. I never know when I'm speaking. Possibly you're here for the first time. You've heard of the Holy Spirit, but you don't really know much about the Bible or the Holy Spirit. So just quickly, the first time that the Holy Spirit is mentioned is in Genesis. I'm just going to read it. I think this is kind of neat because it's right in chapter 1. And it says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and void. And the darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters." So it seems right from the very beginning that God's Holy Spirit was working even in creation. The Holy Spirit was mentioned in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. So I thought just quickly I would quote a few scriptures from the Old Testament. And the first one was that I'd share was in Joshua. And Moses was looking for a man to come with him. And the Lord said to take Joshua with him, in whom a man who is filled with the Spirit. So an example, Joshua had the Spirit of God in him. And then it's mentioned in David. Most of us know the story of David and Bathsheba. When David had done that terrible sin with Bathsheba, it tells us in Psalms that David begged that the God would not take his Holy Spirit from him. And the last one I found in Ezekiel is where God promises to send the Holy Spirit in a future time to save them from uncleanness. So the Holy Spirit was mentioned in the Old Testament. It seems that it was given, and then sometimes for disobedience, it was taken away. Let's move on now to the New Testament. And probably most of us know in John, we're going to look at that now. So this is in John chapter 3. I'm not going to read it because we just don't have time to read all these scriptures. It's well known to most of us. And it's when a leader of the Jews, who is a Pharisee, he comes to Jesus by night, it tells us. And I'm sure he's got lots of questions for Jesus. So he comes to Jesus, and I'm sure he's thinking in his mind what he's going to ask the Lord. But before he even gets a chance to ask his questions, the Lord tells him right away, "You must be born again." Just like that. And sometimes I try to put myself in the position of Nicodemus, this leader of the Jews. And so if I remember right without reading, he says, "How can this be?" I mean, that's probably what I would say. Like, you mean you have to go back into your mother and then be born again? And Jesus says, "That which is flesh is flesh, and that which is spirit is spirit. And then he tells them this. He says, Nicodemus, you're not even going to see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. So you must be born again, he tells this leader of the Jews. So all those who are Christians and who have put their trust in Christ have received God's Holy Spirit. And when you receive God's Holy Spirit, you come to be an ambassador for Christ. And I think we will read that part. That's in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we'll start reading at verse 17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were entreating through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So where does the Holy Spirit fit into all of this in regards to evangelism? I like this one. It's found in Acts chapter 1. It says, Jesus, and just as Jesus teaching, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even Perth, Smith Falls, Carlton Place, the remotest parts of the earth, which is probably Rideau Ferry area, maybe. That's what I'm thinking. I don't know why I shouldn't have said that. I said to myself this morning, don't say that. Try to be serious for once in your life. But that's a very reassuring verse, isn't it? That he's given us power by the Holy Spirit to go to the ends of the world, with the gospel message. And that you're an ambassador for Christ. Is there any other higher calling that God could bestow on a human being than to be an ambassador for Christ? To go out into all the world and tell people how they can know for sure that they're going to get to heaven? You know, it tells us that in John 1. It tells us that all these things I have written unto you so that you may know that you'll have eternal life. Most of us sitting here today that I know that we'll have eternal life, and that's why we worshiped the Lord this morning, for the hope that we have within us. In John 15 and 26, the Holy Spirit's called the Comforter. And as we go out into the world, in whatever way that might be, to evangelize, the Holy Spirit leads us, strengthens us, and encourages us. It's called the peace that passes all understanding. That's one of my favorite verses. When the world is in chaos all around us, somehow we can have a peace. And it passes all understanding. People can't understand. I didn't have a lot of patience when I first came to know the Lord, but after a while, I worked with a man, and he didn't have much patience at all. And before I was a Christian, I guess I didn't have much either. I used to take the odd fit. But then as we worked together, he used to call me Mr. Patience. And well, what has happened to this guy? And so just moving on, I'd like to share now a few more things from the Bible and possibly throw in a few personal experiences. That's why I just sort of shared with you a bit of my background so you would know where I'm coming from. So, to start, we need to be aware of one thing, I believe. And whether you go out into a large group to evangelize, or possibly just a one-on-one with a neighbor or a friend, or even a complete stranger, we're going to be entering a spiritual battle. And it's a battle for souls. The devil is a very real person to deal with. And as long as you're not doing anything, there's a good chance he's not going to bother you. But when you enter into evangelism, whether it's on a large scale or a small scale, I can almost guarantee you there's going to be trouble. Something will happen. I had opportunities to share the gospel in private homes in my past. And just when we open up the scriptures, you can read a lot of scriptures, that's okay. But I'll guarantee you, when you come to the cross of Christ, that phone's going to ring. Or the dog's going to start barking. Someone will knock on the door. The toilet will overflow. Something is going to happen. I can almost guarantee you. So we need to be aware of these things. In street preaching, I got used to it actually and was aware of it, that there's always going to be a heckler. Things will start to happen when you start to preach the gospel, especially if you have a large crowd. I remember having a conversation with this one young man after I did a message, and he came by in a group with a group of other young people. I assume they were heading to the bars downtown, and he just heard the last part of the message, so he wanted to talk. So we were having a really good conversation, but then his buddies came back, grabbed him by the arm, and started to pull him away. We wanted him to come with them, but I didn't want him to go. I wanted to tell them about the Lord. And this went on and on for about 15 minutes. They would be trying to pull him away. Finally, he resisted and he went away with them. But I'll tell you one thing, and to encourage you, a seed was planted, I will guarantee you, in that young man's life. And possibly someone else might come along and water that seed, and then we know that the Lord will cause the growth. And maybe that young man is even saved today, I don't know. But we're not sure of the outcome of our evangelism. It's always good if you're working a lot as an evangelist, like large scale or small. In Ephesians, it talks about putting on the full armor of God. We've probably all read it and been taught on it. But sometimes these things can just sort of, we don't think about them anymore. I think it's good to remind ourselves and go in and read Ephesians 6 in regards to putting on the armor of God. For it tells us in there that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, it's against spiritual forces of wickedness. tells us, put on the full armor of God. That's why we need to know these things, so that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. I'm always reminded of what it says in 1 Peter. It says, your adversary, the devil. Folks, this is real. This is real. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him firm in your faith, putting on the full armor of God, I would add. I just have a note marked here. This is a personal feeling that I have. I don't believe, maybe some of you disagree with me, I don't believe the devil or his demons can read our minds. But he sees how we react to his temptations and to his schemes and how we respond to them. So I would say at this time, be careful how you respond to things that happen when you're involved in evangelism. Don't show a lot of emotion. And remember that Satan appears as an angel of light. He appears as an angel of light. I find when I'm in evangelism, very often I'm confronted by other religious groups. And something to keep in mind when that happens, they will appear as an angel of light. They can come very, very close, where you might even think, well, this guy's a believer. But it's always good to test the spirits. And one way to do that is to bring up the Lord Jesus Christ. And who is he? Is he a God? Or is he the God? Thank you for helping me out back there. I'm reading your lips as I'm speaking. So yeah, he will appear as an angel of light. So don't be fooled by these different groups that are out there. Some people are involved by handing out tracts, as I said earlier, going out in a group. Some would participate in a survey. I found that was very effective at times, with basically a few questions. And then the last question is, do you know for sure if you died tonight, you'd go to heaven? And that's where you usually have your opportunity there. And I always like to pray before I go. And this is something you might want to keep in mind, praying to God and ask God to bring you that person just for you. And you know, that'll happen. Because some people say, well, I don't know what to say. I don't have the right answers. What if I don't know the answer to all of this? Well, if you don't know the answer, go home and get the answer. And then when you come out the next time, you'll know the answer. But as someone told me that one time. So pray that the Lord will give you a divine appointment. And that's always wonderful when that happens. I just, at this time, I want to share one experience, remembering that, we don't do the saving, and that no one will come to know Christ unless the Father draws him. And now I forgot about that experience I wanted to tell you about. What was that now? We'll move on. Maybe it'll come to me. If it comes to me later on this afternoon, I'll give you a call. Okay. Or I could make one up right now. Yeah. So always pray. that God will lead you, because that's another aspect of the Holy Spirit and evangelism, that we can be led by the Holy Spirit. Even Jesus himself in Matthew was led up by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. And then again in the Psalms, David prays and he says, let your spirit lead me on level ground. And in Acts chapter 16, I found this kind of interesting, that when Paul and Timothy were preaching the gospel, they were led by the Spirit not to go to a certain area. So we need to be alert to the Holy Spirit when he's telling us, maybe don't go there at this time. One scripture I really, really liked in the book of Acts. Philip had been preaching the gospel in many of the villages of the Samaritans, and many people were getting saved and being baptized. There was miracles happening. There was wonderful things going on. And then it seems that there was a divine appointment about to happen in Philip's life. Although Philip was right where the action is, and sometimes it's hard when you're preaching and the Holy Spirit starts to lead you somewhere else, you may say to yourself, well, why would I go there when all the people are here? And I'm going to read that scripture in Acts chapter 8. See, I have little sticky things here. I just go like that, and it's there. See, you guys have got to wait. But that way gives me a chance to think about what I'm going to say while you're trying to find it. I'm trying to think of that, what I was going to tell you earlier, so I don't have to phone you all this afternoon. All right. Just in, I think we'll start reading in verse 26. So just at the end of verse 25, it says, and so when they had solemnly testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they started back to Jerusalem and were preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. Verse 26 says this, but an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. Now there's a divine appointment about to happen here. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road. And he arose and went. And there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, go up and join this chariot. And when Philip had run up, you notice that Philip didn't say, well, should I go, or what'll I say, or what if he doesn't want me? What if he tells me to get lost? He went immediately and he ran up. He didn't want to miss an opportunity. And you know, I can remember in my past, I missed a lot of opportunities out of fear. Wondering, well, this person's, they're going to tell me to get lost. And no one likes rejection, right? So when Philip had run up, he heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, well, how could I unless someone guides me? And then, I like this, he invites Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture which he was reading was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he doesn't open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who shall relate his generation, for his life is removed from the earth? And the eunuch answers Philip and said, please tell me, whom does the prophet say this of, himself or someone else? And Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. And as they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and he said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. That's such a nice scripture to read, isn't it? It's too bad all of our evangelical experiences weren't more like that, but some will be. If you're doing the work of an evangelist, you need to walk close to God. Be careful where you go, what you do, and say. Be careful not to grieve the Holy Spirit, the precious Holy Spirit that dwells in you. And try to make the best of every situation you may find yourself in. Because this could be the Lord's will for your life. It may not have been your plan, but it could have been the Lord's plan. We need to be cognizant to that, you know. So as you do go, you may be led by the Spirit to go places and talk to people and be in situations that were not in your plan. But remember, His ways are not our ways. He's got a much bigger plan than we could even imagine. You could just be a small part of the puzzle, planting a seed or possibly watering. But the Lord causes the growth. I remember a time in Montreal. I think it was on St. Catherine Street, if that's the big main street with the large, wide sidewalks. And there were storefronts where, with coverings that you could walk in possibly 30 feet. You could probably fit 25 or 30 people in there at one time. I used to just love preaching from the sketchboard, especially in Montreal, because lots of people used to stop and listen. So I'm all ready to go and preach. And the clouds come over, and it just poured rain. This can't be. How can this be? I prayed for a divine appointment today, and I want the divine appointment, and it's not going to come in the rain, because the paper's getting all wet on the sketchboard. So we got together, there was a group of us, and we prayed about this situation, and we took all our equipment and we went into one of these storefronts and stood there. Well, you see, we weren't the only people in Montreal. There was a lot of other people that didn't want to get wet. So wouldn't you know, they came in underneath this covering, and we talked to people for at least an hour underneath that covering. So, you see, it's not always our ways. It's not always our plans. So we have to be ready to change, to be led by the Spirit. You see, the Spirit was telling me to go, but I was still right there wanting to paint in the rain, you know. But the same things happen in terrible snowfalls. So we need to be, I believe, ready to for any situation. You need to have a lot of faith in regards to evangelism. This is such an important verse because the Lord wants us to have faith in Him. And to the point where He says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Just think about that for a minute. Sometimes our faith is challenged, right? I know mine is. Because I think, oh, what if I'm making a mistake here? And I think that's why it's good for us. We need to study the scriptures, know what is right, what God will have us do, and then step out in faith and trust the Lord. Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, right? And just go. You may have to wait on the Lord. You guys might remember when I moved to Perth. That was about 3 years ago. Because I wanted to be more involved in our outreaches of evangelism here in Perth at this church. But I was living in Carlton Place. And I started making 4 to 5 trips to Carlton, to Perth a week because of all the wonderful programs. I didn't want to miss any of them. So I felt the Holy Spirit leading me to move to Perth. And so I moved to Perth and everything stopped. COVID-19. Everything stopped. There was no more meetings. And I'm sitting there in a new apartment in a strange town. Didn't have a lot of fellowship because everybody was basically not having much fellowship. And I sat there and I waited. And I said to myself, was I misled? Was I not led by the Spirit to come here? You see, I was looking for bigger and better things. I wasn't being led by the Lord, but He led me anyway to this little apartment with 5 units in it, and I got to speak the gospel to just about everyone in that building. And I'm not finished with them yet. So now I moved back to Carlton Place. Just because I felt the Lord is leading me back to Carlton Place. But there's a verse that I want to end with, and it's found in Isaiah 40. It's helped me through this COVID business, and it has so much meaning to me now. It goes like this. You all know it. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I waited on the Lord, wondering what was going on, and I started to feel urges to move back to Carlton Place. And it was hardly a day that I was in my new apartment, and I started getting this leading to do children's ministry again. And I got phone calls out of the blue for people to asking me to come and do children's ministry. And to tell you right now, I waited on the Lord, and I'm on eagle's wings, right now, and it's a great place to be. But sometimes we'll be down in the dumps at the bottom of the mountain. But trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And that's all I'm going to say for today. Thank you for listening. And I just would pray now, Lord, some of the things that were said here that maybe can be an encouragement to us, that we would go out and share our faith and trust in you to help us do that, and that we would be pleasing ambassadors to you. And I pray in your name, Jesus Christ, amen. Thank you for listening.